Blog Talk Radio.
Life, Growth, and Wellness.
They say it's a magical time for us, and I'm going to trust and believe that. Hey, welcome to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy, and I get to be your hostess for this evening, and I am just so excited to serve in this role, to serve you with just the best, authentic experts that I can find in the whole wide world. So I'm always excited to be able to bring them to you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being the audience that you always are. So we do a couple of things to kind of get ourselves grounded here on the show. And the first thing that we do, as we do in life in general, is we make sure that we pay tribute and give honor and thanks to our ancestors. Our ancestors, they're always with us, right? They're especially here on Tuesday nights as we discuss issues that are not necessarily talked about in an open environment. And so I know that, you know, sometimes we go out on a limb a little bit, and the ancestors got that limb and holding that tree for us. So I'm so thankful, just so thankful for it. So ancestors, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to stand on your shoulders for strength. We trust and we know that you got our backs, our fronts, our sides, our tops and bottoms as we move forward. And we ask for your continued guidance through this life of ours. Oh, gosh, we give thanks. We love you now and forevermore. Ashe, ashe, asheo. It's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Self-Defense and Human Trafficking. Our outstanding guest speaker tonight is Grand Master Dr. Odette Russell. She's got a couple of other titles in there, too. So when we come back for me to present the show, I'm going to read the show description so you'll have an idea of who this magnificent person is. So, audience, you know you're always invited to be a part of our discussion. Our call-in number is 516-531-9819, and you will simply push 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. Otherwise, just hold tight and listen to what Dr. Russell has to say. And a lot of our, or some of our listeners, don't quite stay up this late at night. And so they come back and they listen to the rebroadcast. So I would ask that if your line is open and you're not speaking, to just please put your phone on mute until you're ready to speak again, so that our playback is of the highest quality. So that's all the housekeeping that I need to do. And, oh, one more thing. If you care to listen to any of the rebroadcasts, you can do that at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. That's S-A-N-D-Y, RODGERS. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to set the mood with some music, and then we're going to come back and bring Dr. Odette Russell on and get the conversation rocking and rolling with her. We'll be right back, you guys. With Pick Somebody Up. And you know, I like that song as a way of introducing Dr. Odette Russell, because that's what she does, man. I mean, every time I'm in her company, her main interest is that of helping somebody else. So welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And again, if you would like to call and join us live on air, the call-in number is 516-531-9819, and press 1 to let us know you want to speak live on air. Otherwise, just hang in here with us for this evening. We appreciate you being with us. So tonight's show is called Self-Development. defense and human trafficking. And we've got, like I said, our incredible, incredible guest, Grandmaster Dr. Odette Russell. And just being present in the energy flow of this phenomenal Grandmaster, you get a calming sense of safety and protection. Dr. Odette is especially invested in teaching females how to protect themselves using whatever they have on them at the time. No special weapons needed. Just use what you got. She is forever growing and expanding, teaching others the importance of self-discipline. The martial arts, a science she has studied for many, many moons, give her the necessary tools to ensure the females are safe and secure as they move about the world. Dr. Odette has the vision to see this is a worthy skill for all people to learn. Human trafficking has been in existence for hundreds of years. It is important to know that you can learn skills to be protected and protect yourself. So tonight we are here to find out what the Grand Master has to say to us, what words and bits of information that she can share so that we can go about in a more safety way or safety net, so to speak. So, Dr. Odette Russell, thank you, my friend, for being with us tonight.
It is truly my honor. Thank you so much, Sandy, for having me on board to showcase my skill set and hopefully save lives. That's the goal.
Yes,
If I could just start by talking a little bit about myself, I promise it won't be a lot. I just want
go right
everyone
ahead.
To understand
we just flow anyway.
That
so.
Human trafficking is so dark. It is probably, to me, the most depressing topic that I have to focus on. And although I do deal with individuals that have horror stories, I've heard them all, my goal is not to focus on the dark but on the light.
Mm.
So I have trained martial arts for over 40 years, and I also have a PhD in health psychology. My instructor is Cedro Abdul-Mutakabir, who also happens to be my husband. And within our system, it's a combination of karate, kung fu, jiu-jitsu, and kickboxing. It's what you call a mixed martial arts, but a mixture of traditional martial arts. In 1998, I started the female version of SWAM called Sisters Warriors Against Madness. And the reason for this, for me, developing this and using and utilizing the same system that I've been taught, but focusing on the parts of the system that was more geared to enhancing females who understand that most likely our attacker might be 70 pounds heavier and larger, but our hands are smaller, and because our hands are smaller, they're faster, and they can reach in areas that you don't want us to reach. So the interesting part, right, is with my training and my building their knowledge base on vulnerable areas, on anything could be a weapon. I don't have a problem with someone who wants to carry firearms or wants to carry blades. My whole point on that is you might be giving your assailant their weapon, a weapon to use against you, whereas if you have your hands, your cell phone, your keys, your pens, your umbrellas, your flip-flops, your caps, your bra, okay, anything is a weapon, including their own clothing, okay, including their own clothing. These are things that they're not considering to take from you to use against you. So what I do within the training that I train my students is to open their horizon. Now, I know that sounds a little rough, but the bottom line is we learn this because I'm in developing the warrior spirit inside just in case it needs to come out.
Mm.
But the bottom line is what they're learning is a high level of self-esteem, self-efficiency, self-confidence, self-love, and self-care. And believe it or not, they are all different, but they intertwine. okay? And when you have those things, you tend to be out of the radar of a predator or of an attacker because they realize you are that type of person that won't hesitate to fight back. And if you know anything about predators, they don't go against the strong. They attack the weak.
Right.
And even in the animal kingdoms, that's the case. A big part of training, okay, and you having the ability to hurt is you have to have this understanding that there's an accountability and a responsibility behind that. And that accountability and responsibility is you have to be in control. You cannot be impulsive. You cannot be a dictator, a manipulator, a narcissist. You have to develop emotional healing. And that's why, you know, Sandy and I know each other from different institutions that focuses on emotional healing. If you're walking around with traumas that occurred in the past, those traumas, depending on how you could allow them to help you to influence decisions that could be destructive. You know, just dating the same type of mate, that not looking for that better job, not seeing yourself worthy for improvements or a high quality of life. So with the training comes a level of self-healing, self-loving, and understanding that the flaws are just that, flaws, which doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you not a perfect person, which is just as perfect in itself. So moving on, I just want to lead to, while I was doing all this training and teaching, I found that there was a crime that was occurring that had just been skyrocketing. And it became so serious that it was a cancer in our civilization where we each know of someone who possibly might have been abducted or tried to have been abducted, or we've been hearing stories. And these stories are not fake news. This is real stuff that is going on, and it's going on in our community. Now, we're being distracted, you know, we're distracted by the pandemic, we're distracted by the riots, we're distracted by the vaccination, we're distracted by brutality, and the media is doing an amazing job just keeping our fear level high. But the reality is that human trafficking is still occurring, and abductions are still occurring. So the first thing that I would like to do is give you the definition of human trafficking, because I think people think of human trafficking as sex trafficking. And in actuality, there are more components to human trafficking than just sex trafficking. So the basic definition is that it's modern-day slavery. And it is a crime that involves exploiting somebody. And although even if it's a minor that is willing to participate in the activity, it is still a crime because it's a minor. So if I was to break down the different facets of human trafficking, is of course is sex trafficking. Then there's forced marriage. There's forced surrogacy. And what that is basically you're turned into a breeder. You're raped until you're pregnant. You're most likely going to be raped during your pregnancy. And then once you give birth, you won't see the baby. Okay? And then most likely after that, you're raped again until you're pregnant. So basically, you're a breeder. Then there's selling babies. There's abductions, which is kidnapping. There's slavery. That's a part of that. Now, everything that I have mentioned actually has occurred in what Sandy has said, not hundreds of years, actually thousands of years. Once we started the development of farming and developed towns into cities and populations really grew in a central area, we had the exploiters. And in every population, it's amazing that where our goal as a population is to thrive. the first to survive and then to thrive. But humans take it to the next level. I believe that we're the only population or the only species that will exploit each other. And that's what's so disturbing. So, yes, we had concubines, and, yes, we had slavery. We had abductions, and we had forced marriages and selling babies, and even debt bondage, where you're basically your identity is ruined because they use your identity. And all those are part of human trafficking. But what makes this aspect of human trafficking different than what was going on even 50 years ago is organ harvesting. Now we are entering into a real life Frankenstein, Monsters, Inc., and Dracula scenario. And I mean, I'm just going to, before I go into the organ harvesting, I just want to throw some stats at you guys. And the stats might be higher, might be lower, but it gives you an idea on how serious this is. This is a billion dollars industry. This industry is so well organized and so well connected that your neighbor could be involved. Your child's school teacher, the 15-year-old popular girl in your child's high school, the coach that teaches track in the YMCA, the police officer in the local police department, the politician, the guy that works in security at the airport, the guy that does security at the hotel. Any one of these individuals could be involved, from medical professionals to politicians to law enforcement to military. This stuff is well organized. And there have been a lot of individuals who are trying to fight against it who have disappeared. It's like when I was doing my research, people were telling me how far down the rabbit hole you want to get because it is so well organized. And that's the terrifying part. And that's why they're able to get away with so many things. So what I'm hoping that I can do is at least give you some insight and some direction on how you can avoid and your loved ones can avoid being a victim. So let's go into some real quick stats. 3 out of 100 people globally are slaves. And that actually doesn't sound like a lot, 3 out of 100 people, but that comes up to about 21 million people in the world are slaves today.
Wow.
300,000 is the amount of United States children at risk of being abducted a year. 150 to 200,000 is the amount of dollars a pimp can stand to make from one victim. So you can imagine
that number
the motivation. 150,000 to 200,000 a year per one victim.
Wow.
15 years is the age most likely to be lured into sex trafficking. That's a ninth grader in high school. Every United States, every state in the United States is affected by human trafficking, especially California, Texas, and Florida, and those states that have international airports like, hello, Georgia. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
83% of sex trafficking victims in the United States are United States citizens. And we tend to think they're foreigners. Uh-uh. They don't need to go far. They're snatching our kids here. They're snatching our women here. They're snatching our children, everybody. And one-third of runaway children gets approached by a trafficker within 2 days. Before I go, and most of these stats, they tend to be geared to sex trafficking. And if you think of something like organ harvesting, we're actually dealing with a situation where anybody can be a victim. So it doesn't make a difference of your size, of your skin color, of your race, of your age. We all have organs. So I actually got a flyer on what they're selling our organs for. And lungs can range from $150,000 to $170,000. The liver, $150,000. The pancreas, as high as $130,000. I think each kidney is $62,000. The heart, $160,000. Parts of the eyes, $30,000. I even heard somewhere that they can take part of your reproductive system.
Yeah,
and
I'll
transplant
believe it.
That as well. This is that Frankenstein that I was talking about.
Exactly.
Now let's talk about. I'm sorry. I'm
keeping up, taking notes and stuff. So no, you're
okay.
Good. Oh.
Okay. And you can interrupt me at any time to ask questions. Okay, because I'll just keep talking. Now let's talk about us as African Americans. And what could be a part of our bodies? Why? I mean, if you think about the stats, there's a lot more African Americans being snatched than any other population in this country. And I believe, and this is, okay, let me just start off and say, this is a conspiracy theory. What that means is I don't have actual stats on this. So this is what I believe is happening, and I'm being honest. So I haven't, like, researched peer-reviewed journals and found this information or got this from the FBI or the GBI and anything like that. But I've been hearing rumors about this, and I did some research, so I want to share it, and that is the extraction of melanin.
Yes.
And I understand that an ounce of melanin costs more than gold and platinum.
Yeah.
Like 300 and something an ounce. And if you look what an ounce is, it's nothing. So it was like, what? Melanin? So let me tell you a little bit about melanin. Melanin is actually in every single human being. There's always born with melanin, but some of us have more than others. So you know when a person has more melanin by the color of their skin, their hair, and the pupils of their eyes, dark brown and black. So the pigment tells this person what melanin is. Melanin is, of course, a molecule that absorbs the UV rays and protects us from the skin. It enhances through the skin elasticity and firmness, and that's that term, black don't crack, okay? And in actuality, scientifically, a person at a higher level of melanin will age 10 years slower than a person with low melanin, so that you know that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they are not interested in dark skin. Why they want the melanin? They're interested in the properties that melanin has inside. It is basically a DNA repairer, which holds an important role in getting the body to communicate on how to heal. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? It is, and these properties are electrical. So it's like an electrical conductor, okay, that removes harmful free radicals that causes diseases. This is the fountain of youth. And there's also, you know, the rumors that melanin has the ability to heighten our sixth sense.
I've heard, I did a session with the world famous, I believe he's world famous, Jeff Primack. He's a Qigong instructor.
Mm.
He goes all over the world, and he's one of those types of individuals that take on a project, but he's going to be as close to scientifically astute as anybody else. And so He teaches Qigong instructors, and he was noticing that his instructors were always sick, and so he went about finding, you know, the reason why. And so he did this whole course, this whole certified program on food healing. So he's taken all these food items and broken them down into their phytonutrients, and I studied up under him. And so just a very magnificent course, very thorough, you know, all the scientific reasons why you should eat certain foods and how they benefit your body and things like that. But on his last day of the Qigong conference that he did, we all sat around. There had to have been 600 of us in Orlando, Florida, and we sat together all holding hands, and you could feel the roof of that building just literally lifting up, you know, because of the energy. But this man, with that type of connection with others, with understanding how he impacts, said up on that stage, he said, "I know a lot of you are going to be upset with me when I make this statement right here." He said, "But I have been studying. You know, I go into my cave." He said, "And melanated people are just higher than the other of us that have less melanin in us. That's the reason why we have no conscience when it comes to the killing and the criminal action that we take. It's because we lack melanin." He says, "So you need to learn and befriend a black person, a person with melanin, so that you can understand how you really should live in this lifetime."
The interesting part of your story, which is amazing, it was during the Vietnam War where they were doing autopsies to every soldier that passed. And they found that African-American soldiers, when they would do the parts of their brain, were more developed, certain parts of pineal glands. They were more developed, and they realized it was because of the melanin.
Yes.
And that's the key, you know, to the third eye. So anyway, that is a primary reason why there will be more of us being abducted, which is why we have to be more in tune and alert of our surroundings. So
sure.
There's just one more part I want to go into, and I'm going to not get into any more of the organ harvesting aspect of the human trafficking. This is another conspiracy theory, meaning I don't have actual documentation, but I heard about it and I did some research. And this is a substance called adrenochrome. Adrenochrome is a liquid that is created from when there's adrenaline in the bloodstream and it's extracted from the bloodstream. Adrenaline is put into the bloodstream when a person is under distress. And I mean, so the higher amount of adrenaline, you have to put the person under a higher amount of distress, basically torture this person. And just so you know, the adrenaline comes from the adrenal gland. It's one of the hormones of the many hormones that's released to prepare the body for the fight and flight, okay? To prepare the body, and that is by goes into the bloodstream. When the adrenaline is in the bloodstream, it's at its peak, then they drain the blood, okay? The worst part of the story is the adrenochrome is most potent taking it from someone that's 10 years and younger.
10 years
so this
and
is a
younger?
Real, yeah, babies. 10 years
Wow.
In.
Wow.
So they're torturing children, and then they're draining their blood. The use of this, of course, this is very expensive, just like the melanin. So these, all these items are for people with deep pockets. And basically what this is you're drinking the life force from a child. And it's an anti-aging effect, and the other effect, it has an incredible high that is very addictive. So, again, once again, we're dealing with a Dracula vampire, I mean, a Dracula, Frankenstein, and a Monster, Inc. If you remember the movie Monster, Inc., they would cause a child to scream, and that's where they would get their energy.
This is
the same situation. Now, you that and your audience are most likely individuals that are very well in tune to what you consume. And you understand the necessity of consuming products that have positive energy, which is why you might pray over your food, or you don't want someone with a dark energy to prepare your food, especially if you're eating raw food.
Exactly.
But can you imagine drinking something that is based out of fear?
No.
And can you imagine what is that? That is not, you know, like, okay, maybe you're feeling younger, but can you imagine what that's doing to your soul? I mean, I'm just, you know, I know I went somewhere else, but anyway. So I shared with you the stats, I shared with you the factors, and what I want to do now is kind of share with you the traits. And what I'm talking about when I say traits is what a trafficker is primarily looking for and what would pick him from, what would cause him from picking one person over another, okay? So one of the things that I'm going to be talking about throughout
you may cover it, but as you're talking about the abductors, so are you talking about each one of the trafficking conditions, the organ harvesting, the sex, forced marriage, and the surrogacy? Are you talking about each one of those individually? Are you giving us a general overall?
A general overall. So the interesting part is once you're trafficking, right, then they figure out what they're going to do with you. So you might start off as a slave, and then they might put you into sex trafficking, and then from there they might put you back into slavery, or you might jump back and forth to different things depending on what they need you for. And then when you're all used up, they're just going to cut you up and then sell your body parts. Basically, too, with the organ harvesting, we're more valuable dead than alive. And that's the part about the surrogacy, the forced surrogacy, what they do to the babies. If they can't sell the babies, they might groom the babies to become sex slaves or any kind of slaves as their children, or they might cut the babies up into parts. And this is how horrifying this is. We are not humans. We are just a prodigy to serve those with deep pockets. So dealing with the traits, so it could be any of these traits that it's opportunity. A trafficker is looking for an opportunity. Someone that, hey, and I know you might see videos of someone asleep on the train and someone trying to, you know, pick them up and carry them off the train and hoping nobody noticed. There's a whole lot of stories. I think what was the most scariest story for me is I've gotten these stories from rescuers. These were people who were trafficked and they were rescued, and they were explaining how they were abducted. And the more that we learn how they're getting abducted, the better we can prepare ourselves from being a victim or making sure our loved ones are a victim. So I guess I want to talk for the next 20 minutes about the trafficking, but then I want to talk for the last half an hour about the self-defense and how to avoid and stuff like that and the mindset that I want you to have. That's okay. And I mean, because I want to end with empowerment. I don't want to end, like I said, I want to live my life in the light, and I'm not going to attract this darkness, and I don't want to attract it to y'all, the listeners. So I'm just making you aware of the worst of it, and then I'm going to empower you so we know this is not going to happen to us and our loved ones, if that makes any sense. Okay.
Perfect, yeah.
So, okay. So there are five major traits that a trafficker will look for. And what I was saying about this one particular story with this young lady was trafficked was she was a shy child in high school, and all of a sudden the popular girl came up and wanted to befriend her. And like, hey,
right,
let's go eat together and this and that. And then within 2 weeks, she invited her to a party. And it wasn't a party. She was so excited that she thought she was having a friend. She thought this girl really liked her for herself. And the girl got $500 to traffic her to bring her to this house where that young lady was abducted.
Mm.
So that's terrifying because it's like, how do you prepare your child, your teenager, from situations like that? Except most important thing is constantly have open dialogue with your children.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
At least if there's something unusual occurring, they have the insight to talk to you about it. Okay? So what a trafficker looks for is the first one is the vulnerable. This is the easiest. These are individuals from abused, neglected homes, foster kids, broken homes. Okay, these are the kids that are outside all the time, don't know where they're at, parents don't care where they're at, or they don't have a guardian that monitors them. These kids can easily disappear, and no one will, especially if they're in the foster care system, easily disappear, and nobody will even know that they're missing. The second is the forgotten. Those are the runaways and societal rejects, the homeless, the ones that have mental issues, you know, and stuff like that. The third is the non-supervised. These are kids from great homes, but the parents are just too busy. They leave their kids home a lot. The kids are always on the internet. And the kids will go to places they shouldn't be, because the parents are just too busy to monitor them all the time. And that's the non-supervised. The fourth one is interesting. The fourth trait is called money-making. And that's where a person has a specific feature that is required. And I actually saw a flyer that this particular person with deep pockets was looking for a 12-year-old Caucasian girl with blonde hair, blue eyes.
Mm.
And he was willing to pay $200,000 for her.
Wow.
Can't tell you what he was going to do with her. I'm just going to tell you what the flyer said. And
right,
basically, that would make somebody very motivated to even snatch a person that resembles this characteristic from somebody, from her mother's aunt. And we did have a story where a car pulled up, a woman was walking down the street with her daughter in her arm, and the woman was walking, the woman, she was holding her daughter's hand. The daughter was 10. She was walking closest to the street. The car stopped to ask her for directions. While she was given directions, somebody jumped out of the other side of the car, pushed it to the ground, grabbed the girl, and jumped in the car, and they drove off. Broad daylight. This actually happened somewhere in Georgia. Okay? And so that's what we call the money making, where they're pretty bold and they're based on a description. And if they see someone that fits that description perfectly, they might even follow to see where the person lives, wait for the person to be alone or whatever, follow the person maybe even for weeks. And then you have to understand, this trafficker is anxious because there are other traffickers who probably got the same flyer. So it's like, well, I got to get this girl before somebody else gets someone that resembles something like this, this type of person, so I can get this money. And then the fifth trait is called the drug abuse. And these are, you know, when you're tend to use drugs, you tend to go to drug dens, you tend to maybe even be passed out at certain parties and not aware of it. And you're going to a party, you're getting high, you pass out, and you wake up in Singapore. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I mean, that's why states that have international airports have high level of human trafficking activities. Even if you go to Hartsfield Airport, it tells you if you sense human trafficking activities, they have this recording because they know it's such a problem.
Right, right.
They can't lose you if they take you out the country or they take you out the state. How are you going to get back home?
Yeah.
So those are the primary traits that they're looking for. I could tell you thousands of stories. There's one particular story where they'll use kids to bait your children. So the kid will walk up to your kid in the playground and you're playing with your kid. And next thing you know, the kid will lure your kid to a car. And before you know it, your kid is gone.
Mm.
They'll use the cute guy, go after the people in the mall or in the movie theater. So out here in Georgia, you know, where the kids hang out at is where the traffickers hang out at. So there'll be the teacher, the coaches, the police officer, you know. They will approach you with job offers. You have that beautiful look. You can work at my restaurant. You can make more money than you normally think. If it's too good to be true, it's not
real. Probably
it is. It really is.
Yeah.
I heard one story in the mall. A girl went to the bathroom. While she was in the bathroom, they injected her. They shaved her hair, changed her clothes, and took her out as if she was a drunken guy.
Oh, wow.
And this happened actually in Gwinnett Place Mall. I mean, in Mall of Georgia.
Wow.
Yeah. The other thing is they use paper bags to abduct you. So they'll put a paper bag over you where you can't breathe and see or hear. And they'll just kind of like snatch you in a car from a paper bag. We were actually I actually taught paper bag techniques. You know, I have a group of youth, and we were working on that. Of course, they use thicker bags, but I just wanted them to have an understanding, you know, of that. And then there'll be that cute guy that is approaching you on the internet. And the thing is, some of these traffickers are incredibly patient. They will take months for you to develop this trust. And they know all the terminologies that needs to be said to lure your child into thinking that they're their age or they understand how they feel. Yeah, I know I can't stand my mom, too. She never wants me to go anywhere. We'll just tell her you're going to be at your friend Sally's house and we'll meet at the mall and I'll buy you something. And next thing you know, you're going to see your kid again. These people are well organized. They have a plan. This is their job. They do this every day. And they make more money doing this than they would do what they normally do. Imagine giving a teenager $500 to lure a kid into a house.
Exactly.
She's not going to care about that. She don't care. $500?
Yeah.
Shoot, I'll do it. All I got to do is take a tuck. Yeah, I'll do it. That's why you have to have an open dialogue with your children. You have to talk to your kids about using their intuition. And use the term spider senses. I don't care what you use, but let them know if it doesn't feel right, it's not right.
Yeah.
If it's too good to be true, it is too good to be true. You don't want to be a part of it. I did this skid with the girls that I train, because one of the things that the guy will do will come up and say hi with a group of girls. The girl that is the shyest is the one he approaches, the one with the lowest self-esteem. Remember, a predator can smell a wounded animal miles away. So
he's not
going to go after the strongest. He's going to go after the weakest, the
right.
one he can manipulate, the one he can't control, the one that will give him the least amount of fight. And so what I tell my girls is when somebody says, hey, you're so beautiful, and what is your reaction, it's how they'll determine if they want to continue a relationship, to continue this blur with this person, with this child. Is, oh, you're so beautiful, and if you, like, shy away, and, you know, and if you, and I tell them, you tell them, thank you. I know my dad tells me that all the time. He's right over there. And you point to some strange guy. He's not your dad, but he don't know that.
Exactly, right.
He don't know
that's
that.
That's a good one.
Mhm. And guess what? He's like, okay, she's off the radar.
Yep.
Another clue is if you keep seeing a stranger more than once in different locations, that is a big red flag to me. It's like, okay, I saw you here, now I see you there. I'm going to assume you're following me. And I'm not saying you need to do anything. You just need to be aware and maybe put yourself in a position where you are now safe. And any predator, what they don't like is they don't like light, they don't like crowds, and they don't like noise. So what I mean by that is you park in a littered area, you don't walk in dark areas, you know. If you could be in groups, it's better for you. I know, unfortunately, with our children, as African-American children, them being in groups is perceived as a gang. So that's that problem there. Be that parent that if your kid has to go to the mall, so do you. That you don't have to be with them. But you go to the mall, and you can sit in the food court and just read a book, and then just monitor where you at, and then look where she's at, and then, you know what I mean?
Right.
But don't just look at where your child is, what your child is doing. Look at what other people are doing that's around. Like, who is watching that group of girls? Who is following them? Who is? And you know, I have this, like, you know, it's like the more you know, the more you see. It's like it's too late. And it's
right,
like you see scenarios and you're like, oh, man. And even with me, I know that, for instance, there was a situation where a woman had two children. She had a baby in a stroller and she had a toddler who she was holding the toddler's hand, toddler, and ran. And what could this woman do? Either run and leave the baby or let them take the child. It's this horrible Sophie's choice. And what I tell moms who have young toddlers is you let the toddler inside. You know how you hold the stroller? You let the toddler inside between the stroller, between you and the stroller.
Right. That makes
sense.
And
the toddler
sense.
Holds
yeah.
the stroller while you're walking.
Yeah.
And then the other issue, when you're trying to get your children in the car, when you put your child in the car seat, you tend to have your back against the car, you know, against
right.
the street, I'm sorry. And so what you can do is go to the other side of the car, get in the car with the child, lock the car, and then tie the car, then tie the child in the car seat. And then you get out the car and then go into the front. And that way, if you're struggling with the car seat or whatever, you're doing it in the comfort of inside your car.
Yeah, that makes
so
sense.
So now that they set up with the groceries can be brought to your car, you have somebody walk you to your car with the groceries. Even if it's a kid from there, there is strength in numbers. And while the kid is doing that, then you put your child in the car. If you got to tip them a dollar, it's the best dollar you earn because you're going
right.
home safely with your child.
Mm.
So you
have
to
good, those are some good tips. I like that.
Yeah, just,
and you know, one
yeah,
of the
just,
other
just,
things I wanted to say too, when you were talking about distractions earlier, and then the statements that you just made about, especially with the teenagers and, you know, picking the most vulnerable one, I believe that all of this expensive makeup and hair weaves and all of that stuff, they're also distractions, you know, and beyond reach for a lot of inner city kids or, you know, black children. And
yeah,
so that
yeah.
may be one of those things we need to start having some kind of dialogue around with our children also, you know, like you don't let that be your definition or your identification, you know, if you got the nails and the eyelashes and the hair, because all of that costs money and a lot of them don't have it. So then it would become attractive to them, you know.
You know, it's funny. The reason why a lot of people are not handling this pandemic very well is because of the social distancing. Our species do well when we connect with each other, when we meet, when we bond. We're
right.
social beings. And that's because we survive. We're not the highest in the food chain because of our strength, okay? We're the highest
mm-hmm.
in our food chain because of our connection with each other. We protect each other by our numbers. And we actually don't realize how important that is until we become in our tweens, where peer pressure kicks in. So as a parent, we could say, you know, you're beautiful as you are. You keep your hair natural. You don't need to put the braids. You don't need this and that. We'll say it every day, but some guy likes your friend more because she has a weave. That will inspire
yep.
that your child, unfortunately, to say, Mom, I want a weave. But why we can't afford it? Why not?
Yep.
And it's just that peer pressure. We also media. And we're not even talking about TV. We're talking about social media that they have access to every day on their phone all day.
Exactly.
We as parents have to get back into parenting. We have to know what our children are doing. We have to take our phones from these kids at a certain time. We have to structure that. Our children need to know our phone numbers. Our children need to know the address to our home without their cell phone. You understand? They need
mm-hmm.
to know our numbers by heart. Our children need to know how to get home from the city, what highway to take, what exit to get off. Our children need to know this information. We've become dumb because of our smartphone. We don't even know our own phone number. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
We don't even
That's
know how
true.
To get home. We just, you know, okay, what does the navigation say? I don't know where I'm at. And we're so consumed with so much noise around us. Like I said, we're so focused on all this stuff. And then the average person that we're surrounded by in the street wears a mask, so we don't even see their face.
Exactly. Exactly.
But you can tell someone's intentions with their eyes.
Yeah.
And their body language. And most important, your spider senses, your intuition. Don't forget that. But if you're
mm-hmm.
so inundated with what's going on your phone, or I got to get this for Sally, and Billy is cheating on me and I can't stand him, and you're just so focused on all this stuff that's going on in your head, when you're in the street, you can easily get snatched because you look like you're lost. You
yeah.
are a prime example to a predator. So I'm going to tell you about the three different people in our community. The three types of people in our community. The primary type, and I would say it's And I'm going to just say four, just because I got issues. But we're going to just start off with the primary, which let's say is 85% of the population. And they are categorized as the sheep. And the sheep are beautiful, law-abiding individuals that go to work, pay their bills, know that violence exists, but doesn't think it will exist with them. And they don't, and they're in denial with violence. It's just, I don't need to know about how to defend myself. They are not meek or weak, but they follow the crowd. Then there's maybe the, I would say, 5%, a very small percent, and they're the wolves. And those are the traffickers, and they're the opportunists, and they're the narcissists, and they're the individuals or the rapists and the murderers and the abusers. They are the predators, and they go after the weakest of the sheep. And you see it's in the animal kingdom. The animal that's injured, the animal that's old, the animal that's young are the ones that the predators go after. And then there's that 9%. The 9% is the sheepdog. The sheepdog is just like the sheep. They pay their bills. They go to work. They're law-abiding citizens. But the difference between the sheepdog and the sheep is they understand violence, and they address violence with violence. And there's something about their aura. There's something about their demeanor that the wolves know that they address violence with violence. So it's like, it's not like it's a sign that's written on their forehead. It's just the way they walk. It's the way they look. It's the way they stand. It's the way they smell. It's just something about them that holds a high level of confidence that a wolf knows, no, she is or he is not the one. And this also applies to children. Children that have this, it's children that might have this level of confidence that controls and this leadership skill, and then you have those that are just gets bullied all the time, or just follows the leader, and is told whatever to do and will do it. And then that 1%, if you did your math, that 1% is the shepherd that controls everybody. But anyway, we're not going to go there. So the point I'm trying to get is my job as a martial artist is to turn sheep into sheepdogs. And interesting, sheepdogs tend to go into law enforcement or go into the armed forces. They are going to professions where they protect the sheep. That's what a sheepdog is. The sheepdog protects the sheep. And also a sheepdog is a martial artist, someone that teaches and trains and builds someone's self so they can protect themselves. And I don't want to give you the fish. I want to teach you how to fish.
Right.
I am not going to be with you all the time. And neither is, and for women who are with men who say, you don't need to train, you got me, what does that mean? It means you're going to come with me to the store. You're going to come with me to work. You're going to come with me when I go to the bathroom in the mall. No. Matter of fact, you're going to be with me less than you are with me. So I do need to train. And then there was that situation where this couple was in a bar, and they gave both couples, and when he woke up, she was gone.
Oh, wow.
So he wasn't much help. You're there with your man, and he wasn't that much
right.
help. And this is the interesting thing that I share with my girls when I train. I don't care who you are with. Your alert, your spider senses always stay on alert. There was a 10-year-old girl. She's one of my students. She was with her mom. She said that she was in Walmart, and you know when you're in one of those grocery stores where you can run into the same person over and over again because you're going down each aisle. So it's not uncommon to run into somebody. But she said every time she passed these two men, the way they looked at her made her feel uncomfortable. So finally she told her mom. Her mom was oblivious that these men were watching and following them.
Wow.
She brought it to the mom's attention. Once she brought it to the mom's attention, the mom told the security guard and they made a run for it.
Wow.
We got to listen to our children. We got to listen to our instincts. Whenever time we are outside in the street, we got to be aware. Another situation that was really interesting and scary to me, when they turned the faucet on in front of a woman's house. This was at night. They turned the water on. She went outside to turn it off and they snatched her.
Oh, geez.
Is that crazy?
Yes.
But that made me think, how did they know she was in there by herself? How did they know that she was in her, that house? They had obviously been monitoring her, following
right.
her. And she fit
right.
the bill for whatever it was. Okay. That's enough of horror stories. We already know this is messed up. We already know that they exist. These are monsters. So let's talk about, the first thing I want to do is just bring attention to apps. These are apps that can be downloaded on the phone. And also you got to be aware of certain apps that they can use, just to see if your child has it, that they can use to communicate with your child. And I know WhatsApp is an excellent app that I use to communicate to my students, but I found that it was also on the list of apps to be concerned with if your child has it.
What
so,
was it?
WhatsApp, WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So your child shouldn't have WhatsApp. If your child has texts, because through WhatsApp you can send large, high videos and all that stuff, and you don't know, you know, if your child needs to get that. So I'm going to mention three safety apps for the smartphone, and if you have a pen and paper, you can write these down. So the three that I'm mentioning, I've never used. So I want you to do your own research on them. I'm not saying to download it and don't do your research. Please do your research and look into it before you think it fits what's best for you and your family. And the one first thing is called Circle of Six, C-I-R-C-L-E, Circle of Six, S-I-X. And this is an app that lets up to six people from your contacts to join your circle. And then with a touch of a button, you can send them the following commands, the pin icon, which either sends a text of your GPS location to your circle that says, come and get me, I need your help. Or I need your help to get me home safely. And these are icons. You can call and pretend you need me. Like so it's kind of like call me and pretend you need me so I can get out, you know, so out of the situation that I am. Or I need an interruption. Or I need to talk. Or these are different icons by pressing a button that your six friends will receive so they have they know that you might not be in a safe situation.
Okay.
The next icon is called Be Safe, and it's spelled B-S-A-F-E. Be Safe, the letter B-S-A-F-E. And it offers six features to help you stay safe, an alarm feature that sets off a siren. Now, I really like that because remember what I said, an attacker doesn't like light, noise,
right.
and crowds. And when you have noise, that draws people's attention to you, which is why I like screaming.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And, you know, so it has a siren, and it starts recording, not just by your voices, but also records the video as well. And then it sends your GPS location to chosen friends, okay? And then the third one is called Safe Track, which is spelled S-A-F-E-T-R-E-K. I'll spell it again. S-A-F-E-T-R-E-K. And I believe it's one word. And this app, from what I understand, is not free. and it requires monthly or yearly fee. And to use it, you have to hold your thumb on a safe button, and it determines if you are safe, you'll release the button and you put the digits in. But if you're in danger, when you press the button, you do not put the digits in, and it will locate, it will inform the police, and it will let the police know where you're located.
Ah, okay.
So these are the three apps that maybe for you, your loved ones, and definitely if you have teens, you want them to have access to this so you can keep them safe. So let's talk about other ways that you can be safe. Remember I mentioned I'm not a fan if you walk around with knives and guns, because if they disarm them, now you gave them a weapon to use against you. What I teach is like a distraction. So if someone is grabbing me or someone's choking me or someone's pulling my hair, you have to understand I'm dealing with someone maybe 100 pounds heavier than me. They could easily pick me up. And that's what an abductor does. An abductor is not going to ask you for permission to grab you. He's going to grab you, lift you up, and they move fast. So it's their whole thing is, how fast can I snatch you and put you in a car where no one, where even if people see me, no one can stop you because it's too late. You already drove off. So for me, I would definitely not stop in the street and talk to anybody that I don't know. Don't if someone wants directions, just say, act like you can't hear them, but walk as far away and walk closer to away from the street so they can't like snatch you up. If that like
right,
closer to the building, maybe even turn around and go the opposite way. It's hard for the car to make a U-turn. If you have a bike, hold on to the bike. It's hard for them to pull you in the car with this big bike you're in, and that's especially for children. If they're grabbing you, okay, like if they grab you from the front, you can cough in their face. With the COVID, that's a big, like, holy crap, they'll let you go, and you can pop them in, you know. I'm not going to go into death techniques because it's, you know, I don't know who's listening, but just there's way you can choke somebody out with your clothes. If you have a cell phone in your hand, along with you can say like Siri or Google or however you set up that they can call the authorities, and you don't have to actually dial the number. But in the meantime, you could be hitting them with your phone. Okay, keep in mind that your phone is a hammer. And if you hold your phone like how you normally hold it, you have the top and the bottom. You have your hand in the center of the phone, so you have access to hit them from the top and the bottom of the phone. Do you understand what I mean by that?
And I do.
So,
I do. Right.
Yeah, you can hit them in the temple. You can hit the point into someone's eye. You can make sure it's vertical, hit them to the throat. You can make sure it's horizontal, hit them to the groin. Okay, you can have so much fun with a cell phone. You can actually beat somebody with a flip-flop the same way. Okay, I mean, you can also use a belt.
I never thought about
you
that.
You can take a belt off. You can use your keys. You can use a pen. You can use a water bottle. Oh, girl, I got some nasty techniques with the water bottle. And one of the main ones, one of the fun ones, I know this is where I come alive, I know. It's like this is where you're like, okay, oh, Dad, you need some medication here. You're having too much fun with this. But let's say that someone's approaching me and I can see their intent that they're trying to hurt me. I open up my bottle and I squirt the water in their eyes. Okay? Now, that is a real good deterrent where you could get away, you know, and stuff like that, because there's nothing more distracting than you can't see and you feel like your eyes are in danger. I blow in your eyes, you will just like, oh, man, your hands will cover your eyes. Okay?
Right.
as far as the groin is concerned, you could punch up the groin and stuff like that. You can knee the groin. And keep in mind that under the armpit and between the thigh and between the legs, it does not get sun. So you can actually pinch the thigh, and it was like excruciating pain. And I'm a big eye gouger. I love to dig in people's eyes because it's not because I have issues. It's because, and then once again, I'm only doing this because it's a legitimate self-defense. I am being attacked. My life is in danger. They are trying to take me to the second location. And I'm not going to the second location. But guess what? They're going to the second location, which is either the morgue, the jail, or the hospital. That's my approach. Now you attack me. You are no longer an attacker. In my view, you are now the target. And that's, and you have to, like, anything goes. In the street, anything goes. You spit, you bite. You have to be 100% committed. But before you get that, you try to do everything you can to avoid. To avoid. And let's just be each other's protectors. So what I mean by that is, if you see a woman with three kids and she's struggling with three kids, don't go to help her because that might freak her out. But watch her and make sure she gets to her car safely.
Yes, yes, yes. And we can all do that.
Especially the men. They don't have to go with her and walk with her because I'll freak her out. But they can just watch her and monitor her from the distance and make sure anybody drive up close to her, that's when you walk over there and make sure she's okay.
Right.
Because there is power in numbers. Just two people makes a difference. So if you want to go to the mall or you want to go to the store, you have a friend that can go with you, or you make sure your child has a friend, that the child's friend will not leave your child abandoned in a party or in the mall or whatever. You get into these children's heads. You talk to them. You don't just talk to your child. You talk to your child's friend.
Exactly. Yep.
Because if your child won't listen, maybe the friend will. And the friend could say, your mom said you can't do that, remember?
Yeah.
You know. So the goal is, there's another situation that occurred, and that was, I'm not going to say it's an Uber. I don't know if it's a Lyft or Uber, but it was one of those car services that abducted a girl. And they put the child seat on. I mean, the child lock on, so she couldn't get out.
Mm.
And they basically drove her into a warehouse and then abducted her. So it was funny because the next class, my students were like, what do we do? And so we did a class on that.
Okay.
And basically, what as a general rule, when I'm going into a car service, I do not sit catacorner in the back seat. I sit behind the driver. Okay, so the driver can't look at me, which is very uncomfortable for him. So when I get in the car, I go around. So I don't come in from the sidewalk. I come in from the street. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So I go around,
I
see the license plate. I look at the driver, I look at his, I make sure this is the driver that I was told that would be there to pick me up. I ask him for his name. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just going to jump in the car. Now, the problem is if you close the door, you don't know that the child lock is on until you try to open it, and you can't.
Right.
So, you know, you get in the car and you open the door. And once you open the door, you know that at least you're cool with that. You can jump out if you have to. Know where you're going. Don't just leave it up to the driver, you know, and have a conversation. Don't be on the phone and be all tuned out. Now, I will be on the phone in the beginning And I'll be talking to somebody or pretend I'm talking to somebody about my martial arts class and how, oh, my goodness, I didn't mean to choke them out so fast. You know, I'll say something that's obnoxious to let this person know I'm a sheepdog. You know what I mean?
And, right.
And
you're
that would be
one.
Like, and it's so funny. It's so funny because I was in Bahamas and we took a cab somewhere and I started telling him, you know, of what martial arts schools are out here because I'm a martial artist. I'm one of the best in America. And da, da, da. And it turned out he was a martial artist too. And he did take me to a dojo that I actually knew who was running the dojo. But you know, this is what I do. When I'm going to let people know, or I'll give them my business card. And I was like, you know, if you got a wife, I teach women how to hurt men. I say something like ridiculous, and they're like, okay, she's got issues. But you can, you know, or if you have delivery men coming to your house and you're in the house by yourself, put the shower on and just yell, they're almost done, baby. You want to come out and talk to them or you want, oh, he ain't going to come out now. Y'all better just go ahead, you know. And
excellent ideas.
And so,
excellent.
People think you are not by yourself. And
Right.
And it's, you know, you just have to think outside the box, make it where you have, you're exhaust yourself and you're living in fear because I don't want you to live in fear. I just want you to be aware that there are bad people, but you're not going to invite these bad people. But at the same time, you're not going to be naive that they don't exist.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we have actually like less than 10 minutes left. So I'm going to just leave it and see if you have any questions or if anyone else, because I was just like, rambling for the whole hour and a half.
Well, we'll open the floor, but I think everybody may be like me and just like, you know, so amazed with the amount of knowledge you covered. But I will open it up for you guys. 516-531-9819. Push 1 to talk live with us. I just want to go and kind of recap some of the items that you gave us to consider and to lock away in our memory. You know, we talked about how the trafficking was just more than just perhaps sex trafficking, that it is modern-day slavery, but some of the subcategories under that could be sex, could be forced marriage, it could be
kidnapping, selling babies.
Yeah.
And the worst part is
a breeder.
I mean, they're all horrible. So, organ harvesting.
Yeah, but
I
tell you, when you got to that organ harvesting, that one really just kind of blew me away because, man, that right there is serious, especially with the money that you told us about that could be made from the different organs a person would sell and, you know, why they would sell it and things like that, man, I tell you. And the melanin, you know, which would make people want to be more apt to kidnapping somebody or, you know, trafficking someone with a darker skin.
Yeah,
with the melanin.
Yeah.
So, You gave me a lot to think about, and I tell you, it was really, really some incredible knowledge that you, how they say, dropped on us tonight, you know? Great.
So the big picture here, yes, there's a lot of bad people, but there is also a lot of good people. And most important, you have you. You are amazing. You are powerful. You have the ability to take yourself out of situations. And the first thing you have to do is understand that in the first 3 seconds, you have to maintain hope, the key. You cannot give up on yourself, cannot give someone the power to dictate and hurt you. You do not have that right to allow anyone to do that to you.
Yeah.
You don't have to train with me. But you need to do whatever you need to do to empower yourself so you can be the best of yourself.
Right. So let me ask you a question, too. Like, if you're in a relationship with someone and, I mean, married, committed, whatever, so there's going to be signs that things are turning, you know,
yeah.
toward not as harmonious as it once was. What advice would you give someone that may be not so much in the trafficking part of that, but whose life, whose safety may be at jeopardy?
The interesting part is, so I'm going to talk about before you get to that dark part. And I am a big advocate of relationships, love, marriage, and so on. I also know that relationships have sometimes more downs than ups. When you first go into a relationship, everybody's in their best behavior and they're 50-50. And then over time, the give and take will go up and down. When you find that you're given more than taken constantly, that's the sign you need to leave. Now, we're not talking about abuse. We're just talking about a toxic, maybe, environment. And then I have the 3 A's. When it's time to leave, and that's adultery, abuse, and addiction. And then, you know, if I'm maybe the next 2 A's, if I'm feeling like this is really bad because it's a combination of it, and that's asshole and abandonment. But the when you're in an abusive situation and you're already in it, it's so, like, dark, you really have to work on getting out. This is really only your choice. You can't keep calling your friends and your loved ones and telling them all the bad and still stay in that hell. You owe it to your children. You owe it to yourself to get out. And also you need to know not making a decision, making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So there are programs in place that helps women who don't have funds, because the abuse is not necessarily physical. It could be emotional abuse. It could be financial
right.
abuse. It could be spiritual abuse.
Right.
So there's different ways they can handicap you where you feel that you are bound into this dark, toxic relationship that's controlling you, and they're using religion, or they're using culture, or they're using, and it's your spider senses. I'll go back to that you know that this is bad. This is eating out your very soul. And it's actually conditioning you to be the next victim of a trafficker, because that's what a trafficker is looking for, women like that, or individuals that are broken. Remember those traits, broken home.
Right, right.
That was the number one. So the other thing, too, if you're not going to do this for you and you have children, then you need to keep into consideration that you are training your children to be this, either to be an abuser or to be an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not enough motivation, then I don't know what else is.
Yes, yes. I agree. Okay.
This was fun, girl. You said it.
Look,
I
you dropped it,
I
man. You
everything.
Dropped it. You gave us so much knowledge. And I thank you for being so compassionate about what you're doing and being able to share this knowledge with us. You know, I've heard of people being kidnapped in trafficking. I'm going to interchange those words. But that organ harvesting, I was not really up on concept.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you gave me a lot to think about with that, because, you know, people will abuse their bodies and, you know, what I'm saying, things like that. But they're okay if they know they can just go and, you know, pay somebody to go snatch a child or to snatch a person and get whatever organ they need from that, you know, from that body, that unsuspecting body.
Exactly.
So it puts a whole different spin on the communication that we need to have within our families, with our children, with our grandchildren, with the children in the
yeah.
neighborhood.
And
I've
even
always
our
the neighborhood, mom, you know. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank
exactly.
You, thank you.
It was such an honor. Thank you so much for giving me this platform, and I hope and pray that this does not depress anybody, but just awaken and maybe even protect and save lives.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. And I do believe that you did just that. You know, it was not depressing. It was full of facts, and you gave us what we needed in order to start this year off and on a better foot. You know, so thank
yes.
you so much, Grandmaster Dr. Odette Russell. That's my friend, y'all. Oh. Let me share one thing with you guys. So back in 2018, I had this vision to call together people of color to do a online wellness webinar because other cultures were doing it and we weren't. And so I pulled together 53 experts as young as 13-year-old to 88, I believe, was the oldest one. And so I'm rerunning that series, but it's with one person only per day, and Dr. Odette will be debuting or premiering on January the 29th. So they start every day at 7 a.m., and it's on my YouTube channel. So you would just go to Sandy Rogers, and that's RODGERS, and you can, I think it's subscribe to my channel, and then they will let you know. But Dr. Odette will be with us on the 29th. You get to see her in action, and you get to see a couple of the women, and I think there was one teenager maybe that was also involved in her interview. So January 29th at 7 a.m. So thank you again, and we are over time, but it's all good because it's been worth it. I love you so much, sis. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I love you.
Be safe, okay? All right.
All right,
guys.
I will. You do
Bye-bye.
The same. All right, we'll see you guys next week. All right.